Greetings from Siberia. Приветствую, доброе утро, дорогие друзья.
Good morning, good friends. What else?
God's greetings.
Oh yeah, God's greetings. Usually I don't translate. I'm a terrible translator.
No, you're a pretty good translator. You just don't know the English, that's all. There are three churches that we had the honor of being a part of in Siberia, two in the city of Ulan-Ude, and in the last few years, a church in the village of Horensk. Our village isn't really what I would have thought of a village, but 8,500 people, that's what they call it. So we're going to take you on a very short Siberian journey this morning, and we want to thank you, before we get started, for your faithfulness, for your continued prayers, for your financial support, for being our family back here, and being behind us and being a part of this Siberian journey as well.
You're wondering why we're dressed like this. Well, just so we could lose weight in the Florida heat.
We heard it was cooler in Florida. I don't know. No, the Buryat people, which are the people group that we work with alongside the Russians, used to wear these all the time. More dressed up this morning in a very special occasion. Sometimes they were a little bit more like this. But for Kevin,
mine's plain.
Yes, it's plain on the inside. I'm sorry. For the men, they were nomadic people, and so they traveled all the time. And his 4 yards of material around his waist became his pillow at night, and his little pouch would carry.
He can carry all kinds of stuff in here.
I never know what he's going to pull out of there. Usually, it was your cup and your things that you would need as you were traveling. You behaved yourself this morning.
I did. What we wanted to share with you this morning is just a few verses, and you're familiar with them, but then we're going to tie it all together. And the title for this week was, Where Do We Fit? Or Where Do You Fit in the Great Commission? And believe it or not, we all have a place where we fit. We all have a place where we belong. We all have a place where God wants us to be doing and going about His work. Jesus knew His. That's why He was in the temple at 12 years old, and His parents went back and looked for Him. At 12, He knew what He was supposed to do. Of course, He was God in flesh, but do we know what our position, what we're supposed to do? If not, seek God for the answer. He'll give it to you. Is it going to the prison ministry? Is it going on a short-term mission to Siberia? I don't know. Summers are nice. We had a team over this past summer, and they told us, they said the coldest winter they ever had was a summer in Siberia. We live there. We're used to it, I guess. I don't know. The first verse I want to share is Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Your part in the Great Commission, you have sent us. You sent us. You commissioned us in 1996, October. You did a Christmas in October. How many were here in October of 1996? Nobody? Really? Okay, there's a few hands here. And you remember, Joshua, our oldest son at the time, was about 7 years old. And this is pretty tall for a seven-year-old. But he read the Christmas story. He was about this tall. But that you commissioned us as your missionaries. This is not our journey alone. This is our journey together and what God has been doing. And it's amazing because we don't speak of our success in the mission field. We speak of all of our success and what God has done through us. Planting two churches, a deaf church and a hearing church in the city, and now planting a third church in a village. That's totally of God. We just got in the way of what God already wanted to do. The second verse I wanted to share is in Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. As we go through the slideshow, you'll see what that looks like for our small church in Siberia.
Okay. Well, the journey starts on a November morning.
It was 11:30 in the morning.
Sun doesn't go very high. Minus 40. Actually, that wasn't November. December, we had minus 40. We were very glad we were here in December this year.
But they were predicting, and it still could get there, at about 54, 55 below this year.
The region that we live in is above Mongolia, next to Lake Baikal. If you're familiar with Lake Baikal, it's the largest freshwater lake in the world. It holds 20%. We're on the eastern side, so we have a lot of Asian people, that's the Buryat people, and Russians. We also have a team. We're not the only couple in our village. We are privileged to serve along with Doug and Margo on the left, and I'm okay so far, and Valeria and Tanya on the right. Valeria is our pastor. He's a national. He came to know the Lord in 2003, and God has worked through his life, and he is an incredible witness to the people around him. He was a Buddhist. He was a practicing Buddhist. He has friends that are still practicing Buddhist. They're watching. They want to see what's different. There's a huge difference in this man's life. You can't be in a conversation with him and in 10 minutes he's talking about Jesus somehow. Well, yeah. He's just, God has empowered him with incredible gift. And he works that way, yeah.
One thing, not long ago, he has a good friend he went to college with. And you know, you keep close friends with sometimes guys you go to college with. He does. One of his friends is a shaman. And his friend, who's a shaman, called him up and asked him to pray for his grandson who was sick. A shaman asked a Christian pastor to pray for his grandson. Is God working? I think so.
This is the church. It's still in need of a little, a fixer-upper?
Remodeling.
A little bit of remodeling, but it's called Joyful News Church. We are a registered church. We are the only registered church in our region. We have a Russian Orthodox church in the village and a Buddhist temple. People ask us where we come from. Why in the world would you bring that Western religion? And we share that there's hope in the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They are afraid of everything. If the Russian Orthodox priest doesn't give them the answer they're looking for, they run over to the Buddhist priest, who will have them pay for some prayer things or some books or some candles or whatever it is for that week. And if that doesn't work, then they might come over to us. We're praying that the Lord will bring more, but we also pray that the Lord will bring those who are open to hear and open to study His Word. Our journey is going to start also with a young girl. Kevin has said something about where you fit in. You can fit in at the age of 5, or you can fit in at the age of 65. There are no age limits.
95.
Right.
But so, this little girl, she's 5 years old, and she went to her grandma and grandpa's house one day, and they're both alcoholics. When they get paid, they go and get alcohol until the money's gone. Well, one day, she's over there, and she looks at her grandma, and she says, "Grandma, have you ever thought of what's going to happen when you die? Where are you going to go?" A 5-year-old is asking her grandma. And over in Russia, you don't talk about death. Nobody talks about it. It's like, if you don't talk about it, it's not going to happen. I've got news for you. We're all going to die. It's like we've heard this morning. You have the year you were born, and then that little slash, the little dash, and then the year you died. What's our dash going to be? What's going to be in that little time? She asked her grandma that, and because she was bold enough to ask her that, it gave Laura and I the opportunity to go and share Jesus with her grandmother and grandfather, that we could never have got in. We've been trying for 4 years to meet her grandmother, and they just never wanted to have us over at their house.
As I said, you can go from 5 to 65. The lady on the left is 65. She still works 3 jobs. She cleans at the local school. She does some other things. She takes care of her invalid husband. He's been laying in a bed now for about 6 years. She also has grown children who sometimes work, sometimes don't work. They have children. She takes care of all of them in one way or another. She has shared Christ with all of them. She has grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So I'm positive that she will share the love of Christ with them as well. This little girl is my favorite. She comes to me for English lessons. We don't do much English lessons. But I teach her how to do some things. She's 11 years old. This is her half-brother. Her mother and stepdad also are alcoholics. Many times she ends up going to her grandmother's house because it's safe and because there's food. Many times she's gone home from school and there's no food because they didn't buy any groceries when they got paid. They decided to buy vodka or beer or whatever. And so she's basically raising her half-brother. But what a mighty spirit she has. She prays for everyone. She prays for missionaries. She prays for her teachers. She prays for her parents. She prays for you because you sent us. 11 years old. This woman has an incredible story. I couldn't begin to understand or tell you all of it. I just know that when she was young, her mother sent her to an internet, which is like an orphanage, but it was an orphanage for not-so-smart kids. They actually call it the stupid school. And she was told she wasn't smart. I think she has a third-grade education. Her mother was living with a man at the time. She decided to leave, and this lady, young lady, moved in with her stepfather at the age of 19 and became his wife. They had a child. They lived together for many, many years, and this man just always told her she was nothing. So when you met Sveta, this is how you would talk to Sveta, because she could never look at you. She was nothing. She came to our Bible studies. She came over to my house. We read together, and she understood that Christ loved her no matter what, that she wasn't stupid. She looks at you like this now. She's part of our worship team. She was challenged to read the Bible. Now remember, she has a third grade education, so she doesn't always understand what she reads. She read the Bible in 4 months.
Amen.
The love of Jesus, your prayers. Please, please, please continue to pray for our region. This woman, some of you I know we're praying for. I put her on the prayer chain. Huh?
You're on a roll.
I am on a roll. You're going to get over it. Don't worry. She was working in the factory that makes dumplings, and they had a huge vat for mixing up the dough. She put her hand in. She was cleaning it. I don't know how the machine turned on, but she almost had her arm tore off from the elbow down. She called me immediately and says, please let my daughter know I'm not coming home this afternoon. I have to go to the hospital. I said, what happened? She said, oh, I cut my arm. I said, okay. And then later, I found out she almost lost her arm. Three surgeries later in the village, she could move her fingers by prayers and just a miracle that she can even move it. Thank you. That's what she says, thank you, because she knows you were also praying for her. This is my last story. This woman is retired. She's at home. All of her children have grown up and gone on. She comes to the church when she's sober. She comes to my studies when she remembers. She really has an incredible witness. She just doesn't know that God wants to work in her life all the time. Please remember Alexandra. She needs the hope of Jesus. She just isn't ready. As you've noticed, we don't have a lot of men. We have a huge deficit of men, actually. We have four families. Three of them are missionaries. One family with the husband that's still there. But we do have a group that meets.
This was the last night we were in the village before we came here this time. That's our men's group. We're praying it'll grow. We're faithful. If one person shows up, we're going to keep going. The gentleman next to me on my right says, well, I'm a Buddhist, and I'm strictly Buddhist, and I don't want to, you know, I don't know, but I'll come to your Bible study. So he's coming to our Bible study. It's fine with me. However, they'll come to hear the gospel, because God's word does not return void. The young man to my left, he's 14 years old. In class, not too long ago, his class, they were talking about what they would do if they were the director of the school. And all his friends said what they would do. They would kick this boy out, and they would do this with this child, and they'd do that. Well, this young man at 15 years, he stood up, and he says, you know what I would do? First thing, I'd make this a Christian school. And he goes, what I mean by Christian? We would teach the Bible here. We would teach people how to love like Jesus loves. That's not popular when you're in seventh grade. How many, you remember seventh grade? That's some rough ages, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade. But he stood up and said, this is what I would do. That's amazing to me. And this is the next generation. We're trying to reach the next generation. My wife and I, we didn't have any pictures here. We're still working with the youth group in the village. We're the, I don't know why we're still working with the youth, but they love us. And we have anywhere from 8 to 15 kids come to our house for youth group. Here's the ladies group. The reason they're so happy, and men, take note here, it was International Women's Day, and the men of the church, which remember, there aren't many of us, we cooked the ladies of the church lunch that day. They came in, the tables were set, there were flowers on the table. We served them after we cooked it. We cleaned up the dishes, and we washed them. Okay? So men, serve your wives. They really like that. Look at the result here. They were happy as all get out. The part we were reading, where do you fit in the Great Commission? We go overseas and we got to where we thought was the end of the earth. We share the scripture with the church over there, and we can't tell them, we got to the end of the earth and we found you. You're here. No, they're there and they're thinking, where's the end of the earth for them? Where's their Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth? For our church, the H is where we're located, in the village of Hornets. The K there is another village called Kijingah. There's a test later to see if you remember all these names. But Kijingah. They have a church of three people right now. Since we've been back, we've been praying for probably the last year. Since we've been back, we now have a team going from Hornets, our small church of 30 people, of about seven people, two weekends a month, to take over there. We do the music, we do the message. Everything that happens in that church service, two weekends a month, we're going over there, helping to build up this smaller church. So a church of 30 has a vision to help a church of three. A church here of how many? 700 has helped start other churches in other parts of the world. So we all fit in. We're all connected in the body of Christ. In heaven, you're going to have people come up to you and say, thank you for kicking us out to Siberia that you've never met. So we're committed as a group over there to do an outreach to that next village over. And you heard that Laura said that that little girl, that 11-year-old, was a prayer warrior. She loved to pray. This is what she prays for. This young lady, Natasha, got saved in our church work in the city, and she felt the Lord calling her to go to missions. She now serves in Mongolia, out from the church in Ulan Ude, and now we as a church in the village support her in Mongolia. So a church of 30 already doing an outreach in a village, and we're sending missionaries around the world. So it's all made possible because you commissioned us and kicked us out into the Great Commission and into other parts of the world that we, like you heard, we didn't know the language when we got there. But we were crazy enough to go, and you were crazy enough to send us, and we thank you for doing that. Thank you for the years you've been behind us. We don't feel like we're guests here. We feel like we've come home, and we feel like the people we see, the faces, the smiles, we just feel so welcome every time we're here, and thank you.
Buddhist region, I just wanted to real quickly show you that we have monuments popping up everywhere. Buddhism is growing. These are the people of our village that we haven't met. These are the people that need Jesus. And we still have projects that we do to stay in the area, and Kevin's going to quickly...
Yeah, we're still doing windows of warmth. We put in probably 10 windows now, and we're looking to do more this summer. So if you'd like to talk to us about that, we can talk to you. But and the short of it is, we're helping people stay warm by putting in triple pane windows in their home. And this is some of the workers that we use. And this is the end result, a triple pane window to keep 40, 45 degree cold weather out of your home. And that was taken in May, so it was warming up. We didn't have our really cold weather gear on then.
Didn't have a scarf on.
I didn't have a scarf.
No. So we're good.
I don't know what else I was missing there. But thank you. Thank you for supporting us, and thank you for all of your prayers and letters of encouragement. And we love packages, too. So.
I think we went long this time. When do you guys go back?
We head back middle of April.
Middle of April.
So it still will be below freezing when we get there.
Anybody want to go with them?
We got room.
We have room in our luggage.
Any questions? We have just a minute or two. We can just anything you just got to know. Marcella.
Normally what happens is the question was, do we have permission to bring clothing or sheets and towels and blankets? The Russian government is very strict with that. Right now there's places in Finland that they're doing that and sending it through the churches. But it has to be washed really a certain way and has to come through. If you talk to the Russian government, they're not a third world country. If you live there, you realize they're a third world country. So they're closed to that. Samaritan's Purse, you all have heard of that probably. They bring over the boxes for Christmas kids to give out at Christmas time. They won't allow that into the country because nobody there, no children need gifts. All of our kids are taken care of. They're not. So no, we don't really have permission to do much of that.
Thank you. We tried.
Yes, I was in the next region over on the way to Kijingah, and that's where a missionary first came over in 1830 to translate the Bible into the Mongolian language. We went over there I wanted to show somebody where this monument was for this early church work that had the permission from the Russian government. And the local Buddhists in the community were building, and we don't have the picture here, we're building a huge monument to Buddhism there. And he walks up as we're there, and he told me, he goes, you know, don't ever come here again. If you come here again, you won't leave. You'll leave in an ambulance or in going to the morgue. He goes, I could go over right now and destroy your car. I said, yeah, you could. Go ahead. I don't need my car. If you want to destroy my car, go ahead. He says, really, we don't ever want to see you here. So, yeah, there's hostile regions there, but with God's grace and God's strength, we're going to keep going through all of those. But that just happened this year. That was it.
I would say, though, that in our village, they're not hostile. They just are very suspicious. Thank you. That's a good word. They're very suspicious. We're a sect. They don't understand who we are because we're not Russian Orthodox and we're not Buddhist. So what are we? And so very suspicious. They're afraid of everything anyway, so it just adds to it. And because we're foreigners, they think it must be a Western religion, so we don't need that anyway. Just not a lot of opportunities to speak deeply with people, but as far as physical hostility, we haven't had that in the village, just in the region around. And I think it's because of the smaller villages are usually all Buryat, all Asian, and they're all Buddhists. And so they would not ever welcome us in there at this point anyhow.
But we're still going in.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
One window is about $140, $150, I think. I'm converting it because I can tell you it's like 6,000 rubles. But that wouldn't help. Oh, about $200, sorry, for one window. And we have a summer team coming out. And in conjunction with social services of our county, we're going to go in and hopefully do some really good projects with the government. And that's how we stay where we are. We have to be creative in staying in there. We're not missionaries there. They would kick us out right away if they knew we were missionary. Or if they wouldn't give us a visa to live there if we were coming in under missionary visas. We're there to live there, but we do community development when we're there. Thank you. Well, if you talk to our organization now, I'm still not at the teaching level. But I've been teaching since probably 2001. So the language is so hard, you're always learning. By year two or three years into it, I was getting to where I could understand more. But now I'm preaching every third week. I'm doing probably two or three Bible studies a week. Discipleship, it's all in Russian. The village, there's three people that speak English. So English doesn't help you a lot.
And he's one of them.
Yeah, I'm one of them. No, but we're still learning, though. We want to get better in our language. Yeah, they don't know now that I'm from America. They know I'm a foreigner, but they don't know from where. So they think I'm from one of the Baltic regions or one of the regions that spoke Russian in the past. So that's good. Used to, they'd say, what part of America are you from? And I'd say, well, how'd they know that? And we're together, and we work together so often, we make the same mistakes in language, so we don't help each other.
Not good.
All right. Would you thank them, please?